Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. This is Friday.
Why'd you say my name so strangely?
I just wanted to make sure I got it right. I couldn't see the name tag from where I was sitting. Just wanted to make sure I said it right. It is Wendy.
Saying it right? It's funny because my double socks wear is covering up my name tag today. I feel funny because I'm double socksing it.
You're wearing a lot of White Sox attire today because of the crosstown rivalry being played out this weekend.
I want it to be known that even though this was a Cubs station for years,
forever,
I still wore socks wear on these crosstown classic days.
Yeah.
Even when, you know, back then.
No doubt about that.
Now, I have a jersey on, but I also, it's freezing out, which I didn't realize, you know, we're back to fall.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have a White Sox sweatshirt over my White Sox jersey, and I think it's a faux pas.
You couldn't look more like a White Sox fan than you do at this very moment. It would be impossible.
Actually, with all the different logos and the layers, I actually thought you were a player there briefly.
I feel like I shouldn't be doubling down like
this. Absolutely.
Are you supposed to do that?
You can do that. Here's what you can't do.
All right.
You can't wear the paraphernalia of more than one team at the same time.
Sometimes that to Harry Tynowitz.
Harry comes to mind immediately. I have been to ball games with Harry where he's wearing a Bulls jacket, a Cubs shirt, Blackhawks sweatpants, and a Bears hat. And we get it. You're from Chicago and you like sports, but you have to, if wearing a sports team's logo somewhere, you got to stay true to that one team. You can't mix and match every team. That's too much.
It is too much.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I just didn't know if it was acceptable to double.
Oh no,
up on
no,
the...
you're fine. You're fine. Yeah.
Why are you wearing a Cubs hat? Why do you do this to me? Do you even have a Sox hat?
I do, but I told
you. The one you stole?
It's a baby's size White Sox hat.
Can I get you a cool White Sox hat?
Yeah.
Do you like the double socks? Those are kind of cool.
I need to try it on. I can't just see one off the rack and put it on. I need to try it on and see how it looks.
Bertrand, I have to tell you, all of a sudden, Bill Leff has become a clothes horse.
Really?
And he is styling today. He is not wearing gym shoes. He has new dark denim on.
Yep.
And I guess you'd call it a polo shirt / golf shirt in a charcoal gray tucked in.
It's an upside down world.
Yeah.
What has happened to you? Now you make me look bad. It was always great working with you because regardless of what I wore, I looked dressed up.
You know, in the show Stranger Things, where there's that parallel universe,
upside down world.
I'm now living in the upside down world. That's where I'm living right now. I like it here. I have to go to a secret thing today. I can't.
Oh, okay.
I can't talk about it on the air because it's a secret thing.
What is
you
it?
You should be more dressed up then if you're going.
But this is the compromise I make when I attend a secret thing is I dress a little bit nicer than normally,
but not over the top,
not nice enough to where people would think I care.
That's
that
what it boils
sense?
Down to.
Does that
right?
make sense? I have to commend you. People who've listened to the show for a while already know this, but I'll reiterate it. On Mother's Day, it's a very, very difficult day for both Wendy and myself because when we come into the studio, having lost both of our moms, we're greeted by a cavalry of moms.
Yeah.
Everybody on the morning show, pretty much, with the exception of Dave, their mom is alive and well, and they show up for the Mother's Day broadcast. And then we come in, and you're without a mom, and I'm without a mom. And I have to be honest, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
It truly isn't. Why are you commending me, though? Because I lost my mom?
No, yeah, congratulations on pulling that off so successfully. Because it really, normally you and I both have this real ashen, horrible look on our face.
We have that moment usually once on this show.
Yeah.
On the Mother's Day weekend show.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Because it's really weird to think about it. And we knew each other when we lost our moms and not that far apart.
Right.
You know?
Our moms, much like Thelma and Louise, decided to drive a convertible off of a cliff. And we both said to them, "Don't do it, moms." And they said, "We'll be fine. We learned from
they
what
lied
we saw
to
in the movie."
Us.
Yeah, they lied to us, as it turned out.
They were not fine.
No.
And neither of us got to split the car that was left because there was nothing left.
By far the most painful aspect of that story, yes. Yes. But be honest, when you come in here and you see everybody's mom and they're all smiling and you go, "Oh, that's not fair." But what can you do, right? It's not. It's
yeah,
not
and
fair.
How old was your mom when she passed away? Ballpark, I know you don't like to think about this.
Around 60.
Yeah, my mom was 69. She had just retired, and it was a month after our wedding. So I'm bummed she never got to meet my kids.
That's horrible. That shouldn't be that way.
I can't think of it being horrible, or else, you know, yeah, I won't stop thinking about it. Right. But I was telling Steve Cochran's mom that she has a very flippant attitude, and my mom did too.
Yeah.
And so I think about it, and like, growing up with my mom, she was very funny, as was your mom.
Yeah.
But my mom, my dad died when I was 10, so she was a single parent for a very long time. I had a bunch of high school friends, 10 really close friends. They all had a mom and a dad. Yeah. So she handled things on her own and was kind of flippant about relationships. So, you know, she'd make fun of people. So I feel bad that I'm not all lovey-dovey with Jim. I love Jim, my husband, yes, but I'm kind of flippant and like, oh, that guy, you know what I mean? And I kind of feel guilty about it.
Why do you think this is?
Because that's what I grew up with.
You saw it.
You know, I didn't see a mom and a dad together. I basically just saw my mom, who could handle things for herself.
Yeah.
So I didn't, you know, Jim's parents are very lovey-dovey, and they're, you know, they don't tease each other too much. They can show a lovely sentiment to one another. I tease people more than I get serious, and I kind of feel guilty about it.
No, don't feel guilty about it.
But that's what I grew up with.
Right, that makes
Were your parents
sense.
Really lovey-dovey?
Yeah, you know, they really were.
See that.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
But they teased each other as well.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just like any boyfriend I had, my mom would be like, oh, yeah, well, maybe you'll find a better one. I mean, it was just never like, you know, close personal, like, oh, I broke up with so-and-so. Oh, that's too bad. You know, it was just nothing was ever really relationship focused. Oh,
well, it was impossible.
I guess.
My mom reminded me most of, not in the way she looked or carried herself, but do you know who Margaret Dumont is? She was in all the Marx Brothers movies. She was like the comedic foil. She was an older woman with dark hair who was always trying to put together an opera benefit or something like that, and then the Marx Brothers would come in and wreak havoc. But with my dad and my brother and I, we were like the Marx Brothers, and she was like Margaret Dumont, trying to get the job done, but it was impossible because of the guys around her. That was on a daily basis. It was that exactly.
I got to tell you, I know you obviously wish your mom was still around, and so does your brother and your father, but I wish she was still around, because I would like to talk to her about parenting, because she had two boys and one of them was you. So I really would have liked to have gotten advice from her.
How to survive something so horrendous.
Because you were the prank family. Your mom pranked back, but yet she still loved you enough to have every kind of candy in containers on your countertop.
Yeah.
It's ungodly to me that none of you are diabetic.
Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it?
I just can't figure your mom out, and I really wish she was around so she could offer me some advice.
I wonder, she was just really good at coordinating stuff. I mean, it's one of those things you probably don't appreciate it as much when you're a kid, but then when you have kids of your own, I mean, that's the age-old story. You go, I never knew how great they were at it until you become a parent yourself. But yeah, I mean, so I have to say, and I can't speak for you on this, but there was a time where Mother's Day became, after my mom died, that was like the hardest day of the year every year. And time does kind of heal all wounds. I mean, I miss her all the time. I miss her on Mother's Day especially, but it's become a little bit easier, you know, as time has gone on, because you do tend to, at some point, you go, remember all the good times. And there were so many good times.
That's what it is. And, you know, I try to be a little poetic here when I say it, but you always tell someone, I wish I could flip the calendar pages quickly for you.
Yeah.
Because once they flip, you do feel better.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, losing a parent, you honestly feel a hole in your heart. It's you feel like someone punched you in the stomach.
Yeah.
And ultimately that hole in your heart fills up with the memories and the funny stuff.
Right.
And then you kind of get back on with your life.
Right.
So it is hard. And there were years after my mom died, I'd be shopping and I would see something and go, oh, I should get this
all
for
the time.
Oh, I don't need to get it
all
for
the
her.
Time.
All
She's
the time. She's got a good shopping mall up in heaven.
There was one, I will never forget this Mother's Day. My mom used to say every year, we'd say, what do you want us to get you for Mother's Day? Every kid says that. And my mom would always say, I just want a nice day where nobody argues and everybody's friendly to each other. And that's all I want. That's what I want. And then one year toward the end of Mother's Day, we said, hey, we got you what you wanted. We didn't fight and we were nice and stuff. And she said, well, it was nice, but I got to be honest, I was expecting a little more. we got that you exactly sounds, what you wanted.
I say the exact same thing. I really, really would have wanted to read her book on mothering.
Yeah.
I wish she would have written it.
Yeah, I know. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. If you want to jump in, you can. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it's Bill, it's Wendy, and do you have big Mother's Day plans for your wife? I know she's not your mother, but the girl's mother.
Yesterday, we were pleasantly surprised by a visit from our daughter, Kylie, who is going to school in New York. We didn't think we'd get to see her. She showed up unexpectedly, so Kylie Reese, my wife, and I are all going out to one of our favorite restaurants for Mother's Day. How about you?
I was asked, Dylan is 15, he's my youngest son, and he seems to be the messenger. He always kind of like nonchalantly goes, "So, Mom, what mm-hmm. do you want for Mother's Day?"
Oh.
So he's scoping out the scene for everyone.
Yeah.
So then he can tell Jim what to do.
Very
he
smart.
Does this for Christmas and my birthday too. Dylan's always the one.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, I would like to go out to brunch somewhere, maybe do a little Eggs Benedict and a mimosa, and then really all I want to do is plant some hydrangeas and maybe get a gift card to my favorite nail place and go on Mother's Day to get a manicure and a pedicure."
Do you think this will be pulled off successfully?
Yes.
You do.
Yes.
Remember those days when all you wanted for Father's Day or Mother's Day was for the other one to take the kids away from
right.
the house
yes.
for a few days, for
yep.
hours?
Yep. I still kind of like to have my own day. I want to go shopping. I want to get my mani-pedi, and then I want to plant some stuff, which I probably should do first, because I'll be all muddy.
It's your day.
Mani-pedi muddy.
The question is, will they let you have your day?
Yeah.
They will.
Jim's usually really good about it, and the funny thing is on Father's Day, he is the exact opposite. I'm like, you know, what do you want? And he goes, "I'm going to go to Galloping Ghost in Brookfield and play video games with my sons all day."
Mm-hmm.
And
that
I'm like,
seems
so
like he's leaving you out.
I get a bonus day. I get a bonus day on Mother's Day and on Father's Day because he takes the boys and does something.
You'd prefer to not be part of that? You don't want to be in on that?
I need a break sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of testosterone in my house that I really would like to escape.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
all right.
Yeah, I'm
so
fine with that. And
you
then,
do win, then
he does what he wants, and then I can go get a mani-pedi on Father's Day, too.
That's perfect.
So we'll see what happens.
Mani-pedi, again, for people who don't know, the shortstop for the Seattle Mariners. What a season he's having, this mani-pedi. Hits tall fields.
I would like to address something I heard Anthony Rizzo say, where, you know, it'll be fun to play the White Sox because they're in a rebuilding mode.
Yeah.
I get that. I know that. We can, the White Sox can hit. We're just having a little pitching issues.
There are some pitching issues with the White Sox right now. But as we just heard Steve Stone say earlier with Steve Cochran, in 2020, everything will be fixed. We're just 2 years shy of that. So just sit tight for the next...
Well, you don't have to
days
sit tight
and hope that we get through this unscathed and everything will be fine.
When you put it in the term of 800 days, it doesn't sound as long to me
it's right
years.
Around the corner. It's almost here. It's almost here. Have you been to any of the games where the Cubs and the Sox play each other? It's always very exciting.
Years ago.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, it is pretty exciting. And now this is, didn't it used to rotate though, where you do one at Wrigley and one at Guaranteed Rate?
You mean
now
there'd be one series a year?
A series
right.
in each stadium.
Well, no, I know that now they're all at Wrigley, right? These three this
These
weekend?
These three are, but
and
then
at
later...
the end of the season, but I thought they were back and forth.
You mean day to day?
Yeah.
No.
It's
no.
never been like that?
I
no.
think 1 year they were series to series, you know, like three at Wrigley, then three...
Oh,
were they back to back?
I feel like that. But I used to have season tickets, Cubs season tickets, back in the day of the original Crosstown Classic.
When it was a one game affair.
It was a one game exhibition game. And it was, you know, the first week of the season or something. Maybe before the season. And freezing. And if you were a season ticket holder, you had to pay for it. And
Steve, I think a couple times they did it as part of like spring training. So before the season started,
like the last game of spring training was here in Chicago,
and it didn't count really, did it?
It didn't count at all.
And they didn't play the regular players. It was terrible.
Well, the stars would always come in and make like one appearance. Like they'd either pinch hit or they'd play the first inning or two, and then they'd sit them, and Johnny Callison would be called in to play. You know. But all the big stars were there.
I don't know who is.
By
so
the time, what he's saying is that by the time you got your hot chocolate, Tuffy Rhodes was already out of the game.
Yeah, he was out. Right.
Tuffy Rhodes, that's a great name.
Carl Tuffy Rhodes. Famous for what, Wendy? What did Carl Tuffy Rhodes do that has never been done by another Cubs player?
He bunted a ball and then caught it himself.
Yep. only player to have ever done that as a member of the Cubs.
It was an opening day stat, right?
Yeah, opening day. What did he do, Steve?
Three home runs.
What?
Three home runs.
What do you mean it's never been done before?
No other Cubs has ever done it on opening day.
All right, but in a regular game, it's been done, hasn't it?
By other teams.
Little did Tuffy know.
That would be his career. He didn't do too well other than that.
No.
But that day, everybody was going, well, Babe Ruth is on the Cubs now.
Tuffy Rhodes and Dave Kingman, what do they have in common? Yeah.
Well, that's not a bad thing, even though he did it just once.
Right.
Once is better than never.
Oh, yeah. But he was everybody's favorite Cub for a little while there. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, some news, and then a lot more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Oh, we're having a party. We're having a house party, Bill.
There's a house party going on.
Oh,
Wendy.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. Who wants some punch? It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder.
There's no punch at a house party.
You could have a little bit of punch.
You have a lame party.
No Gino's pizza rolls for you then, Wendy, if you're going to be that way. Yeah, you don't get any. Tammy Pescatelli joins us in studio right now. Fine, fine comedian performing at the Improv. It's true.
I was laughing because you have Gina's pizza rolls. Is that for me? Is that just because this Italian girl's coming in?
Yes.
Totino's are actually better, I got to tell you.
More than Gino's?
I don't know, but I'll take whatever.
Pretty good.
I'll take my first kiss ever was, when you spin the bottle.
Yeah.
And this kid had eaten combos. Do you remember combos?
Yes.
The cheese
pretzels,
or peanut butter?
There was cheese. And I remember going, oh, kisses taste horrible.
Here's an idea. How come girls would put a mint or gum in their mouth, but a guy would eat a combo before a kiss?
Yeah, because apparently he wasn't excited to kiss me.
Look what he has missed out on. My mustache
was heavier than his, let's be honest, back in those days.
You just taped a comedy special, and the premise of this is fantastic. Explain what you just filmed, because I love this idea.
Well, it's called the Way After School Special, because I believe people of our generation, everything we learned was from the after school special, yep. Right? Nothing. These kids have been told they're important, and we know that because they take a selfie of every important moment of their life, which is 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned from the after school special, and it is way after school, and I went to my old high school, which was appropriate, because my guidance counselor in 10th grade, I said, I want to be an actress. I want to be a comedian. And she said, you're from here. It's a little suburb of Cleveland. No one from here has ever been on television. If you want to be on TV, you're going to have to rob a bank. That was her
great advice.
Great advice. The misguidance counselor. But back then, they did tell you, no, you can't do that. Or, you know, they did tell you those things. So in order to kind of, you know, get
stick
back.
It to them. And,
yeah. Of course, she was dead. So I should have done it faster.
But did you, for years and years, did you say, someday I'm going to prove this person wrong. I'm going to come back as a success and show them.
Yeah, and I'm still saying it. No, I mean, look, I went back. It was really cool because I decided that I wanted to go back to my high school. I had a special on Netflix now. I had a deal to do another one. And I said, I'd like to film it at my high school. And they were like, great. And then life happened. My husband got sick. I couldn't do it when I wanted to. And as things move in this industry, the guy who had was in charge of my deal at the production company went on to something else. So when I came back and said, I'm ready to shoot at my high school, they were like, yeah, we'll do a special with you, but we're not doing it at your high school, because they like to do it formulaically and put someone else in, 27 comics in the same theater.
Yeah.
So I said, but no, I've already got the school into this. The kids are going to help me film, because I thought, you know what? Not only show me, but how about this? I'm going to take some of the high school kids, let them be part of this, let them assist people, take pictures so they can graduate with an IMDb credit. And the production company goes, no, we're not going to do it. And I'm like, okay, well, then I'm just not going to do it with you. And so I did it all on my own.
Good.
And had to hustle and make this make sense and use some of the kids. And
do they have like a TV production part of the high school now where they
can
film?
Yes and no. They do, but not to the quality that you need to some of this. So I had them, you know, I've had people come in and talk to them, and they're just all part of it. And then it was just really neat because my principal was there, and then some stuff you want to talk about that's embarrassing in front of your parents, imagine your principal.
Yeah.
You know, And I put on my old cheerleading uniform because I was a cheerleader all through. Yeah, you think it's nice. It looked nice. At first, I was all excited. I put it on. I'm like, oh, I fit in, Spanx included, you know. And then it was so old that the elastic disintegrated.
Oh, no. More stretchiness.
Yeah, so I had
what
to get that
redone.
What
room in the high school? Would you do it in the gym?
Well, we tried to do it in the gym, but the sound was crazy in the gym. It kept bouncing back. Yeah. And like, so we did it in the auditorium, which is a new auditorium. It wasn't the one that I grew up in, but it's a very Napoleon Dynamite-y feel
it.
You know, I made them put up posters, you know, that said, "Welcome back, Tammy." It's like, you know, it's just fun. We had a really good time.
So
I left the flag and the podium up on the side.
Oh,
and
that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many of us, Tammy, at some point go back to the house that we grew up in or even sleep in the room that was our room when we were a kid. And there's a weird feeling, you know, that time is standing still somehow. What's it like when you're in that school? You spent 4 years in that high school and all of a sudden you're performing there. Is there a weird feeling for you, or is it pleasant? How does it feel?
Yeah, no, like even right now I get a chill. It's just that I think you just, I don't know that I'm so successful, but I did what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I made that decision that I was leaving this little town to get out. All I wanted to do was get out of there.
Yeah.
And then as you get older and you realize, well, there really is. It's, you know, they told you in Wizard of Oz, but there's no place like home.
That's
you do want to go back. You do. That is where they know who you are. It's what they've seen. They have seen more than anybody the ride that I've been on.
Yeah.
So it's nice to participate. And it's nice to see their ride, you know, and it's nice to see who took over their father's business.
Right.
I mean, that's why people go on Facebook to see how old and fat you got. I mean, that's
that is
so
it.
I just gave them a live action version of it. That's all. You know,
they told you at the time, nobody has really made it big from this little town. Has that changed other than yourself? Has there been any names?
Kind of. Your quarterback here, Mitchell Trubisky, his father was the quarterback at my high school.
Whoa.
So, but Mitch didn't go to our school. Mitch went to a school a couple towns over that was bigger. So that's kind of been cool for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the few things, they're vicarious. And then the guy who I sat with at study hall who said he became the BVD bandit, and he was known nationally where he used
BVD
to sneak.
Bandit.
Yeah, he used to sneak in men's houses and cut their underwear off when they slept. So, thank God I got the right seat at the study hall table.
Right.
There was magic happening at that table.
How did his Netflix special do? I don't remember.
Yeah, well, he got to shoot it wherever he wanted. I know that much.
So, is there a wall of fame or something at your high school? Because you should be on it now.
Well, there is a wall of fame, but strangely, I'm not. Now, I am going back. They asked me to speak at the commencement.
Oh,
that's huge.
So, I think I'm going to try to rally.
You're
going to
swear?
Well, you know, I don't even know what I'm going to say. You know, I've said, it's so funny. I'm in the business of words. You would think that it would be, but I don't know, like, are you inspirational? Is this like a mini TED talk? Is this like a TEDx
It's both. It should be funny and inspirational. Like you, I mean, your story right there, what your guidance counselor told you.
Yeah,
and that you should really do what's in your heart and follow your passion. And then you move away and you still want to come home. Right there is everything.
Yeah, well, you
perfect.
Have to be prepared to be broke, and I don't know if this generation is prepared to be broke. You know what I mean?
Point.
Right.
And you have to figure out too that this is, I just had this conversation with some of these younger comics. You better figure out if you want to be a comedian or you want to be famous, because it's two separate things.
Yeah.
I'm a comedian through and through. I will always work to whatever level. You don't have to know me. I don't have to be famous. But there are huge comics who are hugely famous, but maybe they won't, if they weren't famous, I don't know that anybody would pay to see them over and over again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Agree. How long have you been doing this?
24 years.
24 years. That's solid. You got to be pretty good at it if you pulled it off for 24 years.
Yeah, well, it's a ruse.
Is it all a ruse?
I've been faking them for 24 years. One day they're going to figure it out.
Come and see Tammy Pescatelli. She's faking it at the Improv all this weekend. Chicago.improv.com has all your ticket information. We'll take a quick break and then more after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Tammy Pescatelli. She's performing at the Improv in Schaumburg all this weekend. Go to chicago.improv.com. All your ticket information is there. I need your expert opinion on something. Michelle Wolf, a couple of weeks ago, does this correspondence dinner, and she gets maligned for doing essentially what they hired her to do, to come on and make fun of the political climate in the country. We talked about it on the show the next day, and Wendy suggested that maybe because she's a woman, people were a little harder on her than they would have been if it was a guy. What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah.
And listen, I don't care what your politics are, right? Comedy was supposed to supersede. The problem is we have all of our late night comics injecting. And this is, it doesn't matter because I probably won't get to do their shows anyway because I'm over 45 and they don't want to see anybody over 45 on television if you're a woman. Our late night hosts are now politicizing their format. Mm-hmm. They're now saying their political views in their monologues. Mm-hmm. And we have now not let comedy just stand on its own. Now, Michelle Wolf was hired to be a comic in a political format. She looks like she gave to both sides. We've lost our sense of humor. Also, I also think that things are taken completely out of context sometimes because of the internet. They just take clips. If they take a clip of this show right now, someone is going to say that, you know, Tammy said that she was happy her guidance counselor was dead. Like, right. You know what I mean? Yes. They don't know what I was talking about mm-hmm. in this prior segment. So I think that right now, they're really making it hard. People want to laugh because they're so upset over everything, but they're not letting comics do their job. I was trying to make a stupid joke the other day about, do you know Shark Week? Our whole generation grew up on Shark Week. Yeah. This is a true fact. There's a stretch of beach in Virginia that, and you know exactly, I could see you nodding your head, Wendy. You know what I'm going to say? There's a stretch of beach for 4 years for on the same day at the same time there's been a shark attack. It's a true fact, right? It's like a weird thing. And I, like a big dummy, am trying to make people laugh, and I write on Facebook, if you take your family to that beach on that day, there's somebody you want to take out. Right? It just makes sense, and it's stupid. It's just a dumb little ha 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 little joke. Yeah. This lady went nuts, and literally there's written record of her lunacy because she wrote 17 replies. That's funny. You think death is funny? What kind of person thinks? Do you know that the shark population has been overpopulated and people are poaching sharks? And what if it was someone in your family that was attacked by a shark?
Oh my God.
So I wrote her back. I mean, true story. I wrote her back. I go, specifically who in my family? Because there's a lot of people I could care less. I'd like to take on that Virginia Beach vacation. So, you know, you can't indulge it. And that's the thing. I mean, I think they need to hire... Maybe, I said, what they need to do with that correspondence center is the Republicans can hire someone, the Democrats can hire someone.
That's a good idea.
And they should do three separate versions, joke for joke for joke, and then everybody can be happy. That's what they should do. I came up with it. I'll do it, whatever. Yeah. You know, I'm more in the middle kind of person.
Would you do it? Because Bill always says that's the worst job.
That'd be the hardest room to work.
Would, if they asked you to host the White House Correspondence Center...
I'm working at the Improv in Schaumburg.
Oh, there you go.
I will work. Yes, but it would be, that's the other thing. It is a super hard job.
Yeah.
It's a super hard job. And she's a young girl. I mean, what I do think is, I don't even lean one way or other politically, honestly. I'm not just saying that. Mm-hmm. I do think, but I don't think that they were as harsh as they made them out to be.
They weren't, were they?
Jokes.
No.
So I don't even... You know,
because women are supposed to be nicer. And someone texted after I said that, like, really, you're pulling out the woman card? And I said, in this particular incident, I am.
Well, because you can for this. This isn't saying that we're pulling a card for being women. This is something
we're
that...
We're judged differently.
It is a different thing. And especially the joke was about eyeshadow.
Right.
You don't get... Then if we're going to pull it, if we're going to say it that way, and you don't want to say that as women we can't say anything, then as a man you shouldn't have an opinion on a joke about eyeshadow. Right. Right?
So that's true.
It's
unless
so,
you're Robert Smith from The Cure and you wear it.
That's right, all right.
Yeah, it's
but
so
that
different.
Joke really, if you look at that, what that joke was, it was really more about the fact that Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the implication is that she was lying on a daily basis and then taking those lies and turning them into eyeshadow.
Correct.
It wasn't so much about her physicality in any way, shape, or form.
No.
That was a byproduct of the joke. If
correct.
If you need to analyze it that deep.
Right, and that is the problem. Jokes on their own, there's not a joke that you know anybody who has ever told. You go from the greatest of all times to the Richard Pryors and the George Carlins, and we can go all the way. You analyze anybody's joke, and it's going to not be funny.
Yeah.
Like, that is the problem. Jokes are supposed... we can't do knock-knocks now because we have to ring doorbells?
Right.
I mean, knock-knock, who's there? No, we should... strangers shouldn't just come to your door, by the way. No one should be knocking on it. That's like, you're supposed to call before you come. I mean, like, you can't do anything anymore.
Did you ever see, there was a documentary about Joan Rivers that was done several years ago, and in the middle of this documentary, she gets heckled by a woman who's very upset that Joan has done a joke about something that she's not comfortable with, and she calls her out on it, and Joan Rivers is flabbergasted and goes, didn't you understand the premise of what this is I'm going to make fun of stuff. I'm going to come up here and just rip on stuff. That's how it's done.
Yeah. Well, I think that's another problem, is that in this day and age, social media has made everybody think that their opinion counts.
Yeah.
And it does not count in comedy. It does not. If you want your opinion to count, then you need to go to an open mic night, and you need to work it, and you need to starve, and you need to put your set together, and you need to put an act together that strangers will pay for, not just your neighborhood that you're having a party and you're funny with a glass of punch and some combos in your hand, right? That's a callback if you don't understand that.
Thank you for the punch reference, Tammy. That was delicious.
But, you know, your opinion does not count in my show. My show is how I pay my mortgage. So I'm sorry. Someone's going to be offended at everything. I can't tell a joke about, what am I talking about? Air? Someone choked to death on the air. Someone choked to death on the smog. Someone's grandmother died of a lint ball. There's something that someone is affected by everything that you say. Yeah. So if you start taking that into consideration, you know?
I don't know if you know who Pat McGann is. He's a Chicago comic who's been doing very well lately. He was up a few days ago, and he said that now all of a sudden in a comedy club, you're hearing groans. You never used to hear people groan, but if you say something that somebody doesn't agree with, you'll hear them physically go, oh. And that never used to happen.
Yeah, and it's funny. I won't let people groan. I'm like, if you groan, you got to go.
Yeah.
But I think it's, again, it's they think they're, you don't need a I don't need a reaction for you. You can not react by not laughing, but you don't get to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not a democracy.
Right. This is your show.
This is an aristocracy. I have worked hard to, I'm in charge of this room. This is a cult. You either drink the Kool-Aid or you can go home. That's it. And come back next time. I'll give you more Kool-Aid for four of your friends. And if you don't like it, just go home and find someone who makes you laugh. You need to laugh. It doesn't have, I'm not Taylor Swift. I don't need a squad. It doesn't have to be me who makes you laugh. But you need to laugh. It's not sorcery for some of these. Right. Some of these people need therapy and sorcery to laugh.
Yes.
My jokes aren't strong enough, you know?
You know, you mentioned the biggest point. I don't watch the late night shows anymore. And it is because they have a political agenda right in their monologue. You think back to Johnny Carson and Letterman. They'd say things here and there, but it's completely different right now. And I like to escape what's going on. And that's why I really don't watch those shows anymore.
It's really sad because we have now, you can have a political comic. There were always political comics. Will Durst was one of the best, still is a very funny political comic.
Saul.
We know that Mort Saul.
So
we know
good.
That Bill Maher is going to talk politics. Yeah. That's okay, but not when everybody. We're just supposed to, when you have someone on your show that is going to talk about, you know, we used to have like stupid human tricks, or you have some. If you have the reality star who weighs 600 pounds, I really don't want to hear your opinion on the Iran Contra deal.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to know the format. So it's a very. And honestly, I think that they've forgotten that in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, quote unquote, in New York, because you go in the middle of the country, everybody's just working to get by. We all have the same problems. We all recognize the politics. We all recognize this or that. Mm-hmm. But they're just trying to struggle to pay FICA. They're trying to put their kids in school. They're trying to make sure their mortgage is done. And we're trying to get ready for, we're the generation that everybody forgot about. But yet we're the only ones that have a disposable income. We're taking care of our kids, our parents. We're trying to figure out are we really going to be able to retire in a couple, you know, 20 years? Is there going to be Social Security? So stop. Let me just laugh. Can I just laugh?
Sure.
How is that possible?
Go laugh at Tammy Pescatelli. It's like a cult, I tell you. It's like Guyana. That's what it's like.
I'm telling you. I said I'm the funny Guyana. Where the heck is Oprah? She's still around here?
She's around somewhere.
Tell her. I want to be part of this.
I'll get you involved with Oprah. All right. Go see Tammy all this weekend at the Chicago Improv. It's in Schaumburg. Go to chicago.improv.com. The information's there. Great to see you again.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, Tammy. A quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. On Friday, we talk television. Alexander Zelbin joins us right now from Decider.com, a great website. Visit Decider.com. Alex, nice to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. Shocking yesterday, Fox comes out and cancels a bunch of shows that I didn't see any possibility of being canceled, but Fox thought otherwise.
Oh,
Wendy's
my God,
gasping.
I just saw one.
Wendy's gasping,
no.
Alex. Share the sad news with everybody.
So we are entering upfront season, which means lots of cancellations, renewals, and new shows. And unfortunately, I mean, some of your favorites are going to go, but it was a bloodbath last night. They canceled Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is, I think, the big one that everybody is freaking out about, but also The Mick, which was a huge surprise.
My favorite show ever.
Gone.
And
me too. I love that show.
But I know it's bawdy. I know they push the envelope a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Super funny though. And was it not getting ratings?
You know, we've been talking about that a lot in the office today. They weren't getting ratings, but also broadcast TV in general is having a hard time just with the glut of content out there. So that's never the only reason things get canceled anymore. Fox, if you look at what they probably have on their upcoming slate, and we will know more on Monday once they have their upfront presentation, it looks like they're pivoting from single-camera comedies to multi-camera comedies, which we're kind of calling a little bit of the Roseanne effect. That show is so big. It's cheaper to do a multi-camera comedy in front of an audience. So we think they're going to go in that direction. That said, don't give up hope. There's a lot of other networks that are looking into these shows, whether to give them maybe a short, you know, shortened wrap-up like Last Man on Earth, or Brooklyn Nine-Nine actually seems a strong contender to head to something like Hulu or maybe even NBC, which would be pretty surprising.
I have to jump in and just say Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I don't watch on a regular basis. My kids love it. Very
pretty
popular.
Funny.
It is.
Yeah.
The Mick and even Last Man on Earth, all three of these shows were honestly too hip and cool to be on Fox.
Oh,
they were lucky to have them. So
yeah.
I kind of forgot they were on Fox. I would love to see them go mm-hmm. to another venue.
I do think Brooklyn Nine-Nine actually feels like a great fit on NBC if they do want to make that move. It's executive produced by Mike Schur, and they already have The Good Places on there. He did The Office and Parks and Rec back in the day. And he has a new show that they're considering doing on NBC called, I believe it's Abby. So that would be a nice fit there. Otherwise, all of these shows, as far as I know, do pretty well on Hulu. Fox puts their stuff up on Hulu the next day. So again, that might be a really good fit. And I hope we see more. The Mix seems to be getting lost in the conversation a little bit. Brooklyn Nine-Nine seems a strong contender. Last Man on Earth, we'll see what happens. But The Mick almost surprisingly cut down in its prime. It just got two seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good.
You made Wendy gasp with that news, Alex. I didn't think I'd see that today.
I'm literally so shocked.
Yeah, it is shocking. Well, how about this? If you look at those three shows, Alex, over on Fox, and then you add New Girl, which is gone at the end mm-hmm. of the season, that's a gigantic gaping hole in their comedy lineup. Other than The Simpsons, which has been on since we were all little children, all their comedies, all their longstanding comedies, all took a hit in one day.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about what it means and why they're doing this and what Fox is going forward. And again, we'll probably know more once they literally tell us on Monday afternoon. But one of the conspiracy theory type things going around is that Disney is still potentially going to buy Fox. The deal hasn't totally gone through. If it does go through, it's going to happen midway through next year. So the current popular theory is they're kind of just biding their time, that they're throwing a couple of things out there that they can put on the schedule. They don't want to spend too much money on a lot of other stuff. Like a lot of, you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is well into its run, and those things actually get more expensive as they go. So again, these are all conspiracy theories. It's not reported out or anything like that. But it's possible it might be a network just kind of running, I don't know what the expression is, running its pedals, running
yeah.
the gas until it figures out whatever is going on with the Disney thing.
Our guest is Alexander Zelbin from Decider.com. In a little bit, we'll find out what the wow moment of the week is. This segment is sponsored by Wow Internet TV and Phone. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. We are back to talking television.
Alexander Zelbin is our guest. He's over at Decider.com. If you like your TV, visit Decider.com. Benedict Cumberbatch coming back to TV. What can you tell us, Alex?
So So this is a show called Patrick Melrose. It's an adaptation of a novel. It stars Benedict Cumberbatch as a drunken playboy trying to get over some traumatic experiences from his childhood. It has an amazing cast: Jennifer Jason Leigh, Hugo Weaving, Blythe Danner, Allison Williams, and Holiday Granger. Premiering on Showtime on 9 p.m. To be honest, I've heard some mixed things about it. Benedict Cumberbatch is great. We have one of our writers is writing up something for later today to talk about how he's a thirst trap in the series. But at the same time, apparently, if you've read the book, you're not going to like it. But if you haven't read the book, you might actually like it. So,
wow.
I was watching the premiere of season 2 of I'm Dying Up Here. I forgot that came back on Sunday night. So I watched it on Showtime Anytime and saw a preview of this Patrick Melrose. And it looks really good.
Is it modern day or is it from the past?
Apparently.
Alexander, does it take place now or in the past?
It's kind of all over. It's actually over the course of 40 years, I think, and multiple countries. So a little bit of both.
All right. So again, that is called Patrick Melrose, and it premieres this weekend on Showtime. Little Women coming back to television. What's going on there? Yeah. Oh, Wendy's yawning. Hold on, Alex. Let Wendy yawn. You know, our complaint with Little Women is, and I've seen it 3 different times, the women are not that little. I want the women to be very, very little, and they're like human-sized. It's very disappointing.
I have some bad news for you. These are also human-sized women.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, I know. A real disappointment for everybody. It's on PBS on Sunday night at 8 p.m. That's when it kicks off. 3 parts. Produced by BBC and airing Masterpiece. Emily Watson is in it. Angela Lansbury is in it.
Oh.
Dylan Baker, Catherine Newton, and Willa Fitzgerald. And if you like Little Women, it's great. Our reviewer who saw it said it's not breaking any new ground. You're not going to see a vast reinvention of Little Women, but it's sumptuous and comforting, and it's just all around good television.
I have to give you high marks. A couple of weeks ago on the show, you highly recommended Lost in Space, the new version of Lost in Space. Mm-hmm. I watched the first 2 episodes, thoroughly entertained by it. Really enjoy Lost in Space.
Oh, I'm so glad you liked it. It's great. I'm very excited for when it comes back, whenever it does come back. It holds up the entire season, so you have a good ride ahead of you.
Wendy and I are having the little boy on who plays the new version of Will Robinson. He's a Chicago kid. And it's funny because there's enough of the old series there. If you're a fan of the old Lost in Space, there's little hints to the old Lost in Space, but they've taken some nice twists and turns. I really thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, it definitely, there's a fun little Easter egg you might have missed in the first episode. Without spoiling too much, Parker Posey plays the new Dr. Smith character, and there's a point that she interacts with an older person, and that's actually the original Dr. Smith in the episode.
Oh,
from the original series.
Really?
Yeah, so it's pretty cute. Yeah, so they have little Easter eggs throughout like that. It's definitely a very different show. It's much more, like I had said before, in line with, say, Lost or epic, big budget, you know, sort of Star Trek-y in a way.
Yeah.
But it still is very comforting. It's almost a good family show if there wasn't quite so much cursing.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed it, but in the theme song, it's a completely reworked theme song from the old Lost in Space, but there's some of the same bars from the original theme song that they've thrown into the middle of it. So I love when there's little hints like that.
It's great. It definitely is not ignoring what happened in the past, but it's definitely a show for the future.
What is Evil Genius? This is something premiering, I think, today on Netflix, right? Evil Genius? Yeah. What is it?
Yeah, this is already up today. It's a, I believe, 4-part true crime series produced by the Duplass brothers, who just did Wild Wild Country, which was the previous true crime doc that everybody was freaking out about. This focuses on a crime known as the Pizza Bomber Heist, and it starts with a pizza delivery man trying to rob a bank with an explosive collar, and it blows up while he's trying to rob the bank. This is absolutely true, by the way. And it only gets crazier from there. Our reviewer, Jade, who just put a review up on the site, said that it's a beautifully put together documentary. It's more in line with, say, The Jinx on HBO than something that looks really rough. I'm not thinking of any good examples there. But it's 4 parts. It's great. If you're into true crime stuff, you're going
to
love it.
And I have to confess, this is a show that I've heard of, but I've never seen. But I'm just reading now that it's coming to an end. So if I am going to watch it, I better watch it fast. The Expanse. This is a Sci-Fi Network thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was big news that actually happened, I think, probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning this morning, and then fans woke up of the show, woke up to bad news. This is an adaptation of a series of novels. It's a lot of people have called it like Battlestar Galactica meets Game of Thrones, which is very appropriate. And it's great. It's definitely genre-pushing sci-fi. Takes place in the future where there's this bubbling war between Mars and Earth and some other factions. It's very complicated. It's very diverse cast as well. So a lot of people are very upset to hear about it. But the good news is it's actually produced by an international company. So like what we were talking about with the Fox shows, there's a pretty good chance it's going to get picked up somewhere else. So stay tuned.
And these are the creators of the show. These are the guys who wrote the movie Children of Men, right? That's where we would know them from.
I'm not 100% sure about that. I do know that they used to be George R. R. Martin's assistants, which is why a lot of the Game of Thrones comparisons come in. But I'll have to look at that. Might be right.
It's a guy named Mark Fergus. I don't remember the other guy's name, but I think they were the guys who had originally written Children of Men. We're almost out of time.
I know, and I'm dying to talk about something, but I believe this is the wow moment. I don't know what it is.
It is the wow moment of the week.
I got an alert about this show. I was wondering about this show, and I guess some good news here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the wow moment of the week is that Rick and Morty, a lot of fans were wondering what was going on with season 4. We hadn't heard anything about a pickup since season 3, and the news came out yesterday that it has been picked up. Not just for season 4, but for 70 additional episodes.
That's huge.
Which is mind-boggling. I don't even know what to do with this. This is clearly Adult Swim's biggest show, so they definitely want to go all in on it. But the show has kind of been put together at almost a glacial pace. They put out 10 episodes every year and a half or 2 years or so. And now 70 more episodes. That takes it from 31 episodes that have broadcast so far over the course of half a decade to 101.
Wow.
It's incredible.
That's good news. If you're a fan of Rick and Morty, very, very good news. Alex, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for all the information and hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks again for having me on.
Thanks, that's Alex.
Alex Zalbin. The website again is decider.com. If you enjoy your TV, visit decider.com.
Keyboards, Bill.
Ready?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
All right, we're going to be taking care of business in the garden this weekend. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Every Mother's Day, my present is Jim always digs up the garden and I plant stuff.
Oh.
And then we drink beverages.
Yep.
And that's not a bad way to spend Mother's Day. On the line with us right now, horticulturist from Proven Winners at provenwinners.com, Stacy Hervella. Stacy, welcome back.
It's great to be here. That's always a sure sign of spring when I get to talk to you guys again.
It really is, and I wait a long time to plant things. I am going to be planting my Proven Winners Invincible hydrangeas this weekend because I have a couple of areas to fill up in my backyard garden, but I have an empty spot on the side of my house, mm-hmm. as I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And can we talk about lilacs today? Because I love the smell of lilacs. And to me, nothing says spring than that first bloom.
You know, it's absolutely a sign of spring. And it's such a perfect time for Mother's Day. You know, I think so many people just associate the color and the smell of lilacs with Mother's Day. And, you know, a lot of people, I hear from people all over the country asking a lot of questions about plants. And I hear more people than ever ask me, like, can I grow a lilac in Chicago? Can I grow a lilac in Wisconsin? Can I grow a lilac in Minnesota? And so many people are surprised to find out that lilacs are exceptionally cold tolerant. They actually need cold weather in order to bloom. So they're perfectly suited to us in the Midwest.
And is there a type of lilac that will stay blooming longer? Because a lot of times it's that first breath of spring, the scent, the beautiful color, and then it's gone.
Right. And, you know, that's true. Well, that's true of almost everything that flowers in spring. You know, if we have a really hot and dry spring, which, you know, does not seem to be an issue this year.
No.
Especially with the weather we're having today. The flowers will be much shorter than if we have a cool and wetter spring. So So really, the weather is going to be the first aspect that's going to influence, you know, how well they bloom or how long they bloom. But yeah, there are re-blooming lilacs out there. So those are going to bloom along in spring along with the other lilacs. And then they're going to take a little break. And then they are going to continue to bloom, you know, basically like about midsummer, mid to late July, all the way through frost. And in fact, that's bloomerang lilac. So there's a couple of different colors and sizes of bloomerang lilac that you find at your garden center that you can choose from that will rebloom like that. And for us here in West Michigan, if we have a mild fall, we often have lilacs in bloom on Thanksgiving. No joke.
What?
I know.
Stacy, Wendy's doubting you. I hope you're not insulted, but Wendy's calling you a liar to
no,
your face.
No, I did not call you a liar.
No, she's incredulous. All right. Yes. I gotcha.
All right. So one of these lilacs that will rebloom, what's the maximum you could get it to do in a year? Is it two, maybe three? Is that possible?
Well, so basically what happens, you know, the spring bloom is going to be really abundant. It's going to be absolutely covered in fragrant purple flowers or pink. We have some pink bloomerang lilacs as well. And then, you know, it's going to take that break. And as much new growth as the plant is capable of putting on while it takes that break, the more it's going to flower. So basically what happens is it doesn't really take much of a break again in that rebloom. It just kind of continues to put out new flowers, essentially from, you know, like I said, mid to late July. It depends on the weather. It depends on how hot it is and how dry and how vigorously growing the plant is. But yeah, you'll pretty much see flowers continuously from about late July up until frost.
I love the scent of lilacs. Honest to God, it is the sweetest smell, and they do pretty well in the house. If they're blooming all the time, you can cut some off and bring them in the house, and you don't need a scented candle when you have lilacs.
No, you definitely don't. And, you know, just a tip, if you are cutting any lilacs to bring into the house to enjoy, a lot of people believe that you should really smash up the stem with a hammer so that it absorbs more water, but that is actually not beneficial to keeping lilacs in a vase. What you should do is take your pruning shears that you use to cut the stems in the first place and just make a slit right up into the stem. So basically like perpendicular to the cut end. You just want to go ahead and make a slit up the stem. And what that does is it opens up more surface area in the xylem and the phloem, which is, you know, those old high school biology.
I remember that.
Where the water and food is running through the plant circulation system, vascular system. And it lets it absorb that water. Has more spots to absorb that water. And that will really make a huge difference, much better than smashing it or just cutting it and then not cutting up into the stem like that.
So you cut vertically up into the stem just at the very bottom?
Yep, just like an inch or, you know, you don't have to go crazy, just an inch or so will do. And that will make your lilacs last so much longer. And if you're cutting lilacs, you should also not look for things that are quite fully open. You want lilacs open, the flowers open from the bottom up. So you're going to want to look for blooms that, you know, still have closed buds at the top, because if the whole thing's open, you know, that's fine if you're having a party like that night and you only need them to look good that night. But if you want them to last a little bit longer, you want to give the pick flowers that still have time to open in the house.
She's a genius, Bill, and that's why I like having Stacy Hervella on. If you have any questions, 312-981-7200. I was tooling around on Amazon and saw you have a few books out.
Several.
Including Edible Spots and Pots, which I need to purchase, because this is the weekend a lot of people plant tomatoes or cucumbers or things in their veggie gardens as well. Should we wait since it's been so cold, or is it? I usually wait till Memorial Day, but a lot of people say Mother's Day.
Oh, see, I think Memorial Day is probably a safer bet. We aren't out of the woods Mother's Day weekend a lot. Like in the past several years, we've actually had a hard frost Mother's Day weekend. It doesn't look like we're going to have that this year, although it is quite cold. But there is absolutely still a chance that we could get a frost. Now, if you get your tomatoes, you know, you're just itching to go, or you want to get your mom tomato and vegetable plants, it is okay. You know, it's pretty easy to just like throw an old like towel or blanket or something over the plant just for the night where the freeze threatens. So you can protect it, but that's just an extra chore. So, you know, why not leave them in the expert care of the garden center until, you know, you can just kind of let them be on their own. That would be my advice.
All right. And Larry has a question for you about lilacs. Larry, this is Stacy Hervella from Proven Winners.
Hey, hi, Stacy. I have about a 12-foot tall lilac in my front yard, and only the tops bloom. It's not very thick. Can I just cut it straight down and hope it'll come back?
Yeah, so any multi-stem shrub, if it has like multiple stems coming out of the ground, you can go ahead and cut that back. You know, lilacs flower the most on the new growth. So when they get really old and tall like that, all that new growth is only way, way up at the tippy top of the plant, so you're not going to get the flowers where you can actually enjoy them. So you can go ahead and cut it back. Like I said, if it's really old and it just has one stem, that's probably going to be a little bit more of an iffy proposition. But if you have multiple stems coming out, yeah, go ahead. Now prune it after it blooms, and it should be able to create some new flowers for you as soon as next year, and then improve more and more as it recovers from that pruning.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you, Larry. And that was good advice, because I didn't know that you trim it, you prune it after it blooms. So there was one year I did not get one flower.
Oh.
Well, you know, the lessons in gardening that you learn the hardest are the ones you never forget, right? So now you know when to prune your lilacs.
That's a good point. Greg has a lilac question for you as well. And, of course, you can pick up the Proven Winners Bloomerang that will rebloom, and they're pretty amazing. Greg, you had a question for Stacy?
Yes, I heard on a program about gardening a while back here that lilacs will not bloom until the ground is up to 50 degrees.
Well, it's not really so much the soil temperature as it is a combination of the day length and the outside temperature. So that's one of the reasons that you'll notice a really big difference year to year from when lilacs flower. So a few years ago when we had that really super early spring where it was 90 degrees in March, you know, the lilacs were blooming a full month earlier. So it's really an accumulation of warm temperatures, the air temperatures, not so much the soil temperatures, although they do kind of go hand in hand, that will lead them to open. So, you know, typically right around Mother's Day is pretty average, but it is kind of a crapshoot just depending on what the weather does.
There you go,
okay,
Greg.
Well, I'm going to see if mine bloom this weekend then.
Well, hopefully they will, so you have to have them in time for the holiday.
Thank you, Greg. And we're going to take a break. If you have a question for Stacy, 312-981-7200. You can go to provenwinners.com. You can look at all the different flowering shrubs and all the flowers and plants that they have at Proven Winners. And we also have a contest going on, which I hope you can give us all the details on when we return, Stacy. You can go to WGN Radio, the contest page there, to enter to win some plants. We'll find out all about it next. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. All right, Bill, we are talking with Stacy Hervella, who is the horticulturist over at Proven Winners at provenwinners.com. Want to tell you, listeners, you can register at the WGN Radio contest page to enter to win some Invincible hydrangeas. What? Tell us about this Proven Winners prize package, Stacy.
Well, you know, I can go on and on about hydrangeas, but these are really super awesome hydrangeas. They are basically dwarf Annabelle type hydrangeas. So lots of people know Annabelle. It's really, really easy to grow. It's been around for about 50 years. In fact, it was actually discovered in southern Illinois. Now, Annabelle's a great plant, but it does flop over when, you know, you have those big summer storms. And it's pretty big. So the Invincible hydrangeas that you can win in this contest are dwarf. They have strong stems, and they are colorful. So we have Wee White, which is basically like a little miniature version of Annabelle. It's just 1 to 2 feet tall, so perfect for, you know, small spaces, small yards, containers, etc. Invincible Limetta, which has a nice big green snowball flowers. And Invincible Mini Mauvette, which has sort of a unique purpley mauve kind of flower. And, you know, like our bloomering, reblooming lilac that we've been talking about, they all rebloom. So they'll bloom in early July, like when you expect Annabelle to. And then when that first round of flowers starts to fade, the plant will continue to produce fresh new flowers through fall. And that's something that Annabelle actually can't do. So it's kind of like the total package. You know, if you have a halfway sunny spot in your yard, you know, they benefit from about 6 hours of sun a day and can provide regular water, especially for the first couple of years. You can have an outstanding display every year. They really are exceptional plants.
And how tall do they get?
So it ranges a little bit. Invincible Wee White is the smallest, and that's going to be about 1 to 2 feet tall. And Limetta and Mini Mauvette top out around 2 to 3 feet tall. So really a good, useful size. You know, they're the kind of plants you can plant under your dining room window and not have to worry about them blocking the view.
Perfect. And you mentioned the bloomerang lilacs as well. I want Bill to know something, that the lilacs are related botanically to something that you get on a pizza.
Oh.
Do you want to guess?
Shrimp.
No.
Good guess.
I thought it was shrimp. What is it?
What is it, Stacy?
It's olives.
Oh, really? So, I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, don't you get olives on your
pizza? Yeah, black olives. Oh.
But yeah, they actually, even though they're from, you know, wildly different climates and they need wildly different growing conditions, botanically speaking, they are related. And olives actually also have very, very nice fragrant flowers. Olives, of course, are trees, where lilacs are, you know, smaller shrubs.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are really surprised to find out that, you know, there's this unique relationship between these plants.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Jackie has a hydrangea question. Jackie, this is Stacy Hervella from Proven Winners at provenwinners.com.
Hey, Jackie, what can I do for you?
Hi, I have an endless summer hydrangea that's about maybe 12 years old now. And the last few years, it's not blooming at all, and I'm not doing anything different. So I wondered, what's the deal?
Okay, so endless summer is a hydrangea that actually its flower buds are on it all through winter, so they can actually suffer from winter damage. And you know, if we have a harsh winter, then those buds are often killed by the winter weather, or sometimes by spring frosts and freezes as well. So you have to get it through that, and then you know, of course also can't prune the plant because that would be removing the flower buds. So we have a really great, if you go to the Proof of Winners website, we have a really great publication that people find helpful. It's called Hydrangeas Demystified. So if you just go to provenwinners.com and search Hydrangeas Demystified in the search box, you'll get that, and that will spell all of this out to you in a really simple way. It has a chart that will help you determine why your hydrangea might not be blooming, and that will give you more of an in-depth answer than, you know, I can give you real quick on the phone here.
There you go, Jackie.
Oh, that's very, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Go to provenwinners.com. As Stacy mentioned, there are a lot of things to read there. Someone had asked me where to get Proven Winners. I really haven't had a problem finding them in our area. Vern Goer's Greenhouse, some Home Depots have them, Hinsdale Nursery. Is there a place to find out where to find Proven Winners?
Yeah, there's a retailer locator feature on the Proven Winners website, but, you know, really the whole Chicagoland area is so spoiled for choice when it comes to garden centers. Knuppers and Chalet are two other great choices that I know are really popular down there. But, you know, there are just dozens. I don't want to leave out any great nurseries down there, but you are so spoiled for choice. I'm jealous.
All right. Well, perfect. Hope you have a nice Mother's Day, Stacy.
Yeah, you too. And a great gardening weekend to you and all your listeners.
I can't wait. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stacy.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right, that's Stacy Hervella, a horticulturist with Proven Winners at provenwinners.com. And as Stacy mentioned, really, there is so much literature there that you can find at provenwinners.com. And please enter to win a 3-pack of Invincible hydrangeas. You can go to the WGN radio contest page to enter. We'll check in with Steve Bertrand next. It's Bill, it's Wendy, it's 720 WGN.